Hi, I'm Jeff Walters, and welcome to The Minutes. And thanks for listening today. It's great to have you along on The Minutes for the week of March the 3rd, 2025. This is a City of Thunder Bay podcast. The Minutes takes a look at what happened at Thunder Bay City Council this past week. You can find The Minutes wherever you get your podcasts, including our YouTube channel and our website, thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. On this episode, I'll have a rundown of what happened at Thunder Bay City Council this past week, as well an interview with Jason Sherband, the manager of solid waste and recycling in Thunder Bay. We'll get an update on the organics program and how that will impact what you can put at the curb on garbage day. That interview is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, though, Council started its night off with a non-business meeting at 5:30 in the afternoon. The meeting, which was open to the public, was to get Council up to speed on the designated truck route. The information at the meeting consisted of a background on decisions previously made by Council on the designated truck route since its inception over the last decade. Council received information from Kayla Dixon and Matthew Miedema from the engineering department, as well as data compiled by an external consultant who did a traffic study. There was also information on decreasing the number of collisions based on the designated truck route coming into effect. You can find a copy of the presentation on the non-business meeting portion of the council website. You can find that at thunderbay.ca/council. As for announcements at council, Councillor Greg Johnson will host a Neben Ward meeting on March the 11th and starts at 7 p.m. The meeting will take place at City Hall, although the meeting will also have a virtual component so you can watch online or through Councillor's regular broadcast channels. As well, an announcement that Councillor Brian Hamilton, who represents the McKellar Ward, is also back on City Council after the provincial election. Council heard on Monday night about employer branding. The city's Human Resources Department made a presentation highlighting how they're trying to get more people to work for the city. There was a video as well as the new hiring platform was shown. The new hiring slogan for the city is One City, One Team, One Vision. A homeowner had their issues presented to council this week, asking for the city to cut down a tree on city property. This matter was a written deputation, meaning that there was no person present in council chambers. There was also a very lengthy discussion on this item. The issue is that the homeowner claims a city-owned balsam fir tree, which straddles the property line between the homeowner's property and city-owned land, is dropping needles and sap onto their garage roof. The homeowner claims that this tree, over a period of time, has degraded the condition of the shingles on the garage roof, and they want the tree taken down. In 2021, the homeowner called the city to take down some dead trees along with the living balsam fir. The dead trees were removed, but the balsam remained standing. The homeowner says that they have spoken to multiple city departments, but the tree remains rooted. A deputation to council was suggested by city administration. Now, after a large amount of debate, there were two referrals put out for a vote. The first referral was for that options be brought forward to address the issues brought in the written deputation, along with financial considerations. That referral failed. A policy review, though, to address the issues identified will be completed. That referral was passed. There is no return date on when that referral will be back in front of council. An update on Monday night to changes to garbage collection and the proposed organics collection program. Administration expects the new green bin or the organics program to roll out in the fall of 2026. Automated cart collection, and that's where garbage would be picked up in bins similar to the new recycling bins, will be soft launched on some routes in the fall of 2025 with a full rollout in the spring of 2026. The delay is because of supply chain issues, with a delay in the delivery of the required garbage trucks, as well as a processing plant is still needed to work with the picked-up organic products. Back in 2022, Council then approved a plan to collect and process organics for single-family homes, starting in 2025, and multifamily properties would be started in 2026. The expansion of curbside leaf and yard waste and the automated cart system was also approved back in 2022. Currently, the city has an open negotiated RFP at this time that's slated to close in April of this year, that is to operate the organics processing plant. A trial program will start in the fall for, once again, those automated garbage bins. We'll have a full interview with Jason Sherbant, who is the manager of Solid Waste and Recycling Services. That's coming up in just a few minutes here on The Minutes. Council wrote an update on Monday night on the 2024 uptake of the Private Lead Water Service Replacement Financial Assistance Program. Last year, 23 loan applications were approved, with 20 interest-free loans issued. The loans help mitigate some of the cost of replacing water lines and connections that contain lead. When water sits in lead water pipes, the lead leaches into the drinking water and can pose a health risk if too much enters the body. Lead pipes and connections were common prior to the mid-1950s. Since the program was created in June of 2020, about $385,000 in loans have been issued, with $965,000 still available for loans. Overall, 118 applications to the program have been approved, with the vast majority of the loans being interest-free for 5 years. Some are interest-free for 10 years. The city budgets about $20,000 for the program each year. Three grants have also been issued since 2022 as part of the program. City Council heard the results of the Council Composition Review Committee's work this week. There was a lengthy discussion on this matter as well. The committee was tasked with looking at making potential changes to the composition of council to create a more effective and representative council. After more than a year of research, work, and deliberations, the committee made a recommendation to council. It consists of changing ward boundaries to create four wards with two councillors each. Council would also be comprised of two more councillors elected at large, as well as the mayor. This would have a total of 11 members of council. The implementation of these changes would be in place for the 2026 municipal election. The information was presented to council as a first report on Monday, meaning there was no debate on the topic itself. Council, though, could request additional information that it could receive before making a decision later this year. The committee was chaired by former councillors Rebecca Johnson and Vice Chair Cody Fraser, who also made the presentation. The committee notes it looked to create equity in the new ward boundaries regarding income, population, and demographics. Having two councillors per ward could also increase representation. A smaller council with two fewer members than it currently has would increase the efficiency of council meetings, while the hybrid model with both at-large and ward councillors, which is unique to Thunder Bay, may also increase the number of candidates who are able to run for office. The committee had two phases of reaching out to the public, which included determining the public's priorities when it came to council composition, and then getting feedback on potential models. Overall, most people were in favor of reducing the number of councillors and reviewing ward boundaries. As well, many people were in favor of keeping the ward or hybrid system and prioritize the ability to connect with a specific or representative councillor. There were also two deputations on this matter, one from Shane Judge and the other from Corey Bagden. Both had previously made presentations to the Council Composition Review Committee. Corey Bagden was speaking about the importance of increasing voter turnout and moving to a system with 9 wards. Shane Judge spoke about the benefits of an all-at-large system. Judge was called out of order several times by the city manager as well as the chair, who ruled his comments were out of order based on disrespect for administration's involvement in the work. The matter will come back to council for a decision and debate on April the 7th. Council heard a deputation and received some information about the Woodside Street parquet on Monday night. Council voted to defer the matter for 2 years. Now, back in June of 2024, Council deferred a decision to declare the Woodside parquet as surplus for 6 months, and this would allow the city to talk to more people in the neighborhood based on the area's response to the sale of the parquet and interest in improving the park's amenities. This was the end of that 6-month period, and again, that decision was deferred for 2 years. Now, Parks and Open Spaces staff met with people in the neighborhood over the past 6 months and worked to develop a conceptual plan based on neighborhood input. The resulting plan, which didn't consider other parks in the area, included a seating berm, gathering area, walkways, planter boxes, trees, and open play areas based on neighboring uses as well as the space available. At the end of the discussion, administration told those involved that the next step would be for City Council to determine if the land would be declared surplus. A memo from administration, though, says that although the conceptual plan shows what could be done with the space, it does not change the original reasoning as to why Parks and Open Spaces was supportive of declaring the parquet as surplus. There are currently 3 parquets in the area, and providing more park spaces than most other areas of Thunder Bay. Reducing the number of parquets from 3 to 2 will not have a major impact, the memo from Parks and Open Spaces says. Administration recommends any investment in the lands to be deferred until the asset management plan and the park's master plan are updated. The opinion of administration remains that the land could be declared a surplus and is suitable for housing development, and that would be a more efficient and sustainable use of the land. Council also heard a deputation this week regarding the Woodside Parkette lands. The deputation was from Kevin Green, who lives in the neighborhood, and the presentation highlighted changes to the Parkette that would be achieved at minimal cost, he said. The group hoped that the Parkette would not be sold or that deferred so that the neighborhood group could calculate the cost of its proposed changes and then re-present its plan to council. Again, council decided to hold off on a decision for 2 years. Administration told council this week it will be a little while longer until it writes a report on the creation of red light cameras in Thunder Bay. The deferral moves the report from the first quarter to the second quarter of this year. The red light camera report was initially requested a year ago. The deferral is to allow administration time to analyze recently received information and then to update the report. Council also voted to have a closed session meeting on Monday, March the 10th. It will be to discuss a realty matter as well as negotiations. And finally, council approved a resolution this week from the city's Intergovernmental Affairs Committee. The group had information from Ontario's Big City Mayors. That's a group of mayors representing cities with a population of over 100,000 people. The group has what is dubbed the Solve the Crisis campaign. It asks the Premier and the Government of Ontario to address homelessness, addictions, and mental health issues across the province. The memo from the group says that municipalities are working with community partners to try and create problems to solve these issues, but ultimately, these issues should be addressed by the province. The province dealing with these issues would allow communities to not use property taxes to fund these programs. The Big City Mayors Coalition wants the province to appoint a single minister and ministry to handle housing, mental health, addictions, and recovery support, along with the creation of a plan to address these issues, and also calls for adequate funding, along with working with the federal government. And that's a wrap as to what happened at council this week. For more information on anything that happens at council, please visit our website, thunderbay.ca/council. It's been years in the making, and soon you'll be able to put out your organics or kitchen scraps at the curb to be collected and turned into, well, something more than garbage. Council got an update on Monday night about the Curbside Organics program, along with the new automated garbage collection system. Jason Sherband is the manager of Solid Waste and Recycling Services with the city, and he updated council on Monday night about changes to garbage collection and the new organics program. Jason, thanks for coming into the Minute Studio today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Yeah, glad you could make it in today. So let's start with the auto carts for garbage. This is kind of similar to what we have for recycling already.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will be moving to an automated cart-based system for the garbage stream as well. So again, similar to what residents have been used to with the new recycling system. So what we're looking to do in 2025 is what we're calling a soft launch. So we'll be a segment of single-family households throughout the city that we'll be rolling out garbage carts to late summer, early fall. With the rest of the single-family households in the city rolling out in the spring of 26. So it will allow us to sort of, you know, see how things will go, you know, learn some lessons along the way. Certainly with the recycling carts, we've learned already, but this will help us sort of get things rolling on the garbage side as well.
And how are you to determine who gets a cart? Like, I'm assuming you're not just going to pick random households across the city.
No, there'll be a little bit more strategic strategy to that, you know, determining what routes it'll be. And we want to get a little bit of everything, I think, you know, because we want to see where some of the challenges may be, where some of the successes may be. And that way, if there's some challenges and stuff along the way, we can learn from that without implementing it to all the households. So we can kind of make some adjustments and changes on the fly.
And these auto carts, they were supposed to be rolled out a little bit earlier than we're doing at this pace at this point, I guess. Why are we seeing some delays?
Yeah, obviously, you know, the goal, you know, when we sort of started this was to have the organics program and the automated cart collection for garbage and organic waste all roll out as one sort of package in 2025. Unfortunately, you know, we've seen some delays, and there's really two main driving factors with that. One is just The supply chain issues that we've endured with procuring the required waste collection vehicles, right, or trucks, and so you know we're starting to see those trucks rolling in, but it's just taken a long time. So that uncertainty, and just the processing piece. So you know, think of picking up organic waste at the curb. When you pick it up, you've got to be able to do something with it, and it's got to be processed and ultimately turned into compost. And so just sourcing that processing facility, you know, when this is up and running, it'll be the first of its kind, not only in Thunder Bay, but all of Northwestern Ontario. So there's just been some, you know, some challenges and hurdles along the way that we're working through. And so it's just taken a little bit longer, but it's not uncommon in the industry for a program and project of this nature to see delays. But those are the two main driving factors.
If we look at the trucks, we already have what look like, at least to me, new garbage trucks on the road that have those arms already.
Yeah, so we've got actually two new trucks that are on road right now, as of January. And so what residents will see if you see those two going around is you'll actually see sort of a divider in the middle, if you will. So it allows us to eventually pick up two streams. So we'll be able to, with the same truck, pick up the organic waste and the garbage all in one pass, which is kind of interesting. So those two trucks are actually out on the road now. The arms are there, they're disabled, but they're there. And so, yeah, we've got two going, and we'll start to receive the remaining trucks, throughout the year. And that'll be one of the first hurdles, with the fleet piece. And then obviously, the processing piece is the other piece that needs to be finalized.
And what about the carts? Are we going to have, are they going to be like the same things as the recycling carts at this point?
Yeah, similar in nature. You know, they won't be as big as the recycling carts. You know, obviously, the recycling carts are sort of the largest cart size, if you will. There's a size below that'll be for the garbage stream, and even a size below that for the organic stream eventually. So, so similar in nature, you know, but just a little bit smaller.
Okay, and then so we're gonna have at some point we'll have three carts being put at the curb.
Yeah,
yeah, all different colors.
All different colors, yeah. So the garbage cart will likely be black in color, and then the green bin or organics cart will obviously be green. So, yeah, three different carts, three different colored carts. Yeah, so it's exciting. Exciting for the changes to happen, yeah.
And how about the organics program, I guess? How does this work, essentially? Can you? I know we're not rolling it out for a bit, but can you give me some details?
Yeah, absolutely. So the organics program will be weekly collection. You know, just to take a little bit of a step back to have people to understand that, you know, when we went through in the city a few years ago and did what we called a four-season waste audit, so just looking at what people put out at the curb every week throughout all four seasons of the year, determined that about 43% of the waste that, you know, people are putting out is actually kitchen food waste or kitchen scraps. And then 7% of that is actually leaf and yard waste. So when you look at it, about what half of people are putting at the curb is food and organic waste, right? So this program, in essence, you'll be able to divert that material into those bins, and there should be minimal garbage left over, you know, if you're participating fully in all the programs. But everyone will be seen receive a green cart. It'll be weekly collection. And yeah, and it'll just be diverting those food scraps into that stream as opposed to putting it out in the garbage.
And this can also take more than like your backyard composter, right? Like it can take bones and that sort of stuff as well?
Yeah, it's a little bit more broader than what a backyard composter would be able to accept. You know, so it's really all your kitchen waste, your kitchen food scraps and stuff. And yeah, I think once the program gets rolling, I think people will see the ease of using it.
And I guess where are we when it comes to building this facility? Because you need something to take all this stuff,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. We always forget, right? Like, you know, you pick it up at the curb and where does it go,
just
right?
Disappears,
it just
right?
Disappears, and for some people that's sufficient, right? But yeah, that is the big thing is you know, we're working right now at procuring a processing solution for our green bin waste, right? And like I said, there isn't an existing facility in the city or in the surrounding area, so it will be a first of its kind. So it's just taking a little bit longer than expected to kind of work through that. But yeah, once that facility is up, running, and operational, not only does it support the city's program, but it will open up the door for you know, for other maybe surrounding municipalities or you know, businesses in the community and area to take advantage of that as well.
What about multi-residential buildings? I noticed that was noted in the report too, that, you know, we will get there.
We will get there. So the way this is sort of laid out is we will deal with the single family households first, you know, get that implemented, get that rolled out and just sort of get good, if you will, at doing that. And then tackle the multi-residential side, both on the garbage side of things with the automated carts, but also the organic piece as well. We do know with multi-res that it's, you know, it's got its own specific needs and challenges. And so needing to focus on that a little bit more. So instead of doing it all at once and kind of, we want to make sure we get single family right, get that going, and then put our focus to the multi-res side.
Right. And I guess you'd want to make sure, you know, especially for the organics, you'd ought to pick it up often.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And one of the big things I always like to say to people is right now, you know, it's all going in the garbage stream, whether it's in a can or a bag. And so really what we're changing is just you're separating it and segregating it. But if you think about it, it's still, you know, it's still getting disposed of at the end of your driveway or at a multi-residential facility right now. It's just the way it goes out to the curb is different, are going to be different. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All these changes, I know it was noted that this all kind of started about 4 or 5 years ago. Why are we making these changes?
Yeah, you know, there's a few things. Obviously, we do have a provincial mandate to put the organics program in place. So, you know, we do have an obligation to work towards compliance is what we're doing. But beyond that, I think when you look at, you know, recycling and waste diversion, the organics piece is sort of the last missing piece, if you will. You know, I spoke about, you know, 50% of the stream is food and organic waste. And, you know, we do have a leaf and yard waste program already. You know, council has approved this year to expand that program from 2 collections to 4. So that's great. It'll give residents more opportunity to obviously divert that material. But yeah, it's sort of the last missing piece, if you will, right? And it's going to have net benefits, obviously, at the landfill in terms of extending the life of that. So it's just sort of the remaining piece is kind of how I'd put it.
And we'll kind of, I guess, be at the forefront of every other city in Ontario, right? Like this is common throughout Southern Ontario and other major centers.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not reinventing the wheel here, both on the automated collection piece and the organics piece, right? If you look at a lot of communities have either moved to automated collection or in the process of doing it like we are. And then on the organic stuff, you know, there's municipalities that have had these program in place for years. And there are municipalities like us that are in the process of implementing as well. But we're not reinventing the wheel here. It works in other communities. It works in other communities that have winters similar to Thunder Bay.
Right. Yes.
And we do know with the launch of the recycling changes last year and the carts that it's working. You know, so we know that it is possible here.
Jason, appreciate you coming in today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
That's Jason Sherband. He is the city's manager of solid waste and recycling services, and he joined me today in the Minutes studio. And a big thanks for listening to the Minutes this week. Of course, if you want more information about City Council, agendas, or Minutes, visit thunderbay.ca/council. If you want to listen to past episodes or maybe provide some feedback, visit thunderbay.ca/theminutes. You can also find the Minutes wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, you can find us on YouTube and on our website as well. That's thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. I'm Jeff Walters. Thanks for listening this week. We'll chat again next week. Make it a great day.